praise God. Are we closing the doors? Are they staying open? There's still children standing around wondering where they're going to go. If you'll turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Peter 1:4. 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 4. If you'll stand with me for the reading of the word. Please pray for me as I do have this opportunity to speak to you about your inheritance. Father, even now, let's read the word of God first, then we'll pray. To an inheritance, read it with along with me, would you? To an inheritance, incorruptible. What that means is that nothing can corrupt. Nothing can make it impure. Nothing can tear it apart. Nothing can take it from you. So it says, to an inheritance, incorruptible. Lord, I'm asking for your anointing even now. And undefiled. And that fadeth not away. Reserved in heaven for them. What does it say? Oh, thank you, for you. Okay, that's where we're going to go. I'm going to talk to you about welfare versus an inheritance. There's a different kind of mentality you have to have when you're going to receive welfare. And a different kind of mentality you have to have when you have an inheritance coming. And that is already laid up for you. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, help me to articulate the things that you have placed in my heart, oh God. I have no script. But I'm simply speaking as you have led me to, Father. I'm asking you, Lord, that this will become a reality in our minds, that we're supposed to live differently than what we see the world living as. That we are supposed to be the light. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be different in our mindsets, oh God. And in our inheritance is laid up for us that we can have access to at any time. We have access to healing. We have access to miracles. We have access to signs and wonders. We have access to the Holy Ghost. We have access to whatever God would have for us. And Father, we pray that we would just take the opportunities and stretch our faith to receive that which you have promised. And everyone said, in Jesus' name, you may be seated. I want to title this message, Your Inheritance. Your Inheritance. It's interesting, when you grow up, many times you can find yourself accepting what your parents accepted. Does that make sense? If some people I've known, even in this congregation, if they grew up in the projects, they thought they were going to live there the rest of their lives. And I'm not saying that's a disrespectful thing. I'm just letting you know that sometimes where you live and how you live, how you think, and where and how you think about your own life can propel you out of that life, or can cause you to be stuck, and cause you to stay there and feel like you don't have anything better than that. You have to have, I'm so grateful that the people around me think differently than I do. And you should be also. Because it takes sometimes someone reaching back, grabbing your hand, and pulling you out of things that you can't pull yourself out. Because sometimes you can't even see it. Sometimes you just don't know what God has for you until someone comes along and they live different in front of you. There's some people that can't stay around you because you are so here. And they're here. God has to remove them out of your life so they can keep walking up here. He does. You might find they're a close friend. I really love them. It doesn't matter if you create an environment around you that is so negative that they can't grab hold to faith. God will remove them out of your life because you're bringing them back. You're taking them down. You see, I'm grateful for the giftings of the Holy Ghost. And the reason I say that is because it takes gifts to set other gifts free. What do I mean by that? I was saying some things in the service, the beginning of the service, not today, last time I preached. And I said some things that I really meant because they came from my heart. And I was talking about how that the things in your past sometimes can, thank you, Father. If you don't choose to let go of your past, you will carry it with you. We were in a prayer meeting one time, and it was so interesting to me because sometimes God gives prophetic dreams or visions, and in this vision, my daughter was standing there, and I said, you know, and God will show you as you believe him to do certain things in the spirit to symbolize what he wants to do in someone's life. So this is what was done. I was standing there next to my daughter, and he said, tell her, to open up the door. So we opened up these side doors, and I said, I want you to pretend, Stephanie, as though you have a suitcase in your hand. And your suitcase is all the things you've been through. You're in your suitcase is all the things that you carry with you all your life. All the bad things as well as the good. But what God wanted her to do is take that suitcase and just sling it out. Out that door so that it would no longer be associated with her life. There's some things about your past you can no longer be associated with. You have to let things go so that you can go forward. And those are some of the things I was saying in the last service I was preaching. And then I happened to go to the back, and this dear sister walks up to me and says, you need to go back. I was like, you need to go back and listen to your message. You see, no matter what comes out my mouth, God knows the heart. I can proclaim everything that you can imagine, but what's operating in your heart? And I'm just using that example. Sometimes some people say, you speak a good game, but you're not living it. But what I'm going to tell you, you can do both. You can attain unto the things that you've spoken if you learn early to hear what you said yourself. How are you speaking about your own life? What I'm talking to you about is this. If I stay in my past, it's welfare, things that other people did. Things that other people have done to me, that's welfare. Because, see, I wait every month to be reminded. You see, you get a check every month, and you can only get it for, it only lasts for so much. If you get food stamps, it only goes so far. But with God, your inheritance has no limits. It has no expiration date. It has no hakara moshata. As you are willing to get in your prayer closet and commune with your God and walk with him, there's no limits. See, the only way I can describe it to you, the only inheritance that I can think of in this moment is when my mother had passed. When she passed, she said something to me that I proudly denied at first. She said, someday you're going to need this house. And my proud, staunch, stubborn, rebellious self stood up to her and said, I'll never live in your house. I ate my words. Because sure enough, she could see a pattern in our lives that will allow us to be back where we started. Sometimes people see things about you. They may not even say it to you because you won't receive it. But their words do come to pass. And her words did. We ended up living in her house. And sometimes when you're in a position or in a place, if you've never done this, I pray that you do. I don't care where you're at in your life right now. Ask God why you're there. We were in a house that my mother owned, and it was an old house. It was run down, and I started pulling money out of my savings, out of my checking, to fix the place where we were at. And then we were standing in the kitchen one day, and the Holy Ghost just fell on Jonathan, and he says, Mom, Dad, God didn't want you to fix the house. He wants you to fix your relationship. I spent our savings, our checking, on fixing something that God didn't want fixed. And to this day, we don't own that house anymore. It's just like, why not just get in your car and start throwing dollar bills out? Just throwing it away. That's what it's like when you do things that God did not orchestrate. If you spend your life doing things that God did not orchestrate, you see, you have to come to a place in your walk with God when you say, my life is not my own. If you've never said that to yourself, you better wake up and start saying, my life is not my own. Because if you're making all your choices, you're going to end up someplace where you don't want to be. That was the most, and see, we're saved. See, when you get your mindset, if you don't come together, thank you, Father. If you don't come together in one mind, you're always going to be divided. So we had the hardest time, and I'm not faulting anyone in that relationship, but we had the hardest time coming together in one thought. So every time we were given an opportunity, my nature is to fix it, where God said, don't fix it. My nature is to do all these things. So then when it came time for us to buy our own home, there's nothing here. There's nothing to draw from. There's nothing to pull from because our minds were not together. A kingdom divided against itself will not stand. You have a little kingdom in your house, and if God gives you a principle, you ought to thank God. If he gives you a blueprint on how you should run that family, you ought to thank God. You ought, when you start seeing the principles in the Word of God on how you should govern your marriage, you ought to thank God. Because if you don't see them, you're going to be like the world. And that was never his intention, because you have an inheritance. Welfare runs out. You have to go back and reapply every year at least. Somebody said every 6 months. I don't know how she knows. No. It's just that the frequency, because there's no certainty in it. But in your inheritance with God, there is a certainty in it. There's a place where you're going to go. There's a place where you can abide. There's things that you can have that you may not even see, but you can hope for them as well. There's something about an inheritance that's so real. It's so real. And see, the thing about it is that you possess those things by faith. If you need healing in your body, you possess it by faith. Faith in what? In God and his word. That's how you possess it. And I'm grateful every time there's been a challenge of some kind brought into our lives that God has allowed everybody in this church somehow to find someone in this church that can pray and believe God for them. That's what's present here. You don't find that everywhere. My wife and I went and visited a church the other day, and it was one that we had been involved with, and God pulled us out of there. And we were there, sitting there, and the Lord kept saying, just the pillars remain. You ever seen the ruins of something? If you look in old Greek, not mythology, but Greek ruins, all you see left, the walls are gone, if there were walls, and the structure is, the parts on the top were broken down, but there's always the pillars that are still standing. When I went to that church, the Lord kept saying, just the pillars are standing. He said, just the pillars are standing. That means to tell me that there's no one coming in. They have a foundation that is holding up something that's not going to last very long if they're not careful, because they're telling the pillars to move. That's like you telling your pastor, Pastor, you should be out there witnessing. See, there are some things in place. There are some things put in place in order for you to thrive. There has to be a foundation that you can bring someone to. Some of us are still drawing people to ourselves and not to God. You need to be careful of that. Because if they were to die the next day and all they knew was about you and not about your God, you got to remember who's really important in this equation between you and God. I'm not my own. I belong to him. And see, what God does, the way that he honors you is that he knows what you're going to do in every situation. And so when you're in this situation, for instance, I was standing in an apartment, and this woman comes in, and she tells me her story. I'm not going to go into the whole detail of the story, but in that instance, I had a coworker that I was witnessing to. And everything he saw was who I was. Everything that people see you do is really who you are. If you're witnessing about the goodness of God and you believe in prayer and you're not praying, who are you then? There is not a situation in your life that you should not pray about if you claim to know this God that can do miracles and signs and wonders, can raise the dead, can do so many things. You won't see it if you don't pray. Could you imagine? All it takes is for us to open up our hearts and call upon our God. For him to come in the midst of any situation. My God, that's powerful. Welfare versus inheritance. Welfare. That's someone, that's relying on someone else. I just read a scripture earlier this morning. It said, he that puts his trust in man is a fool. He that puts his trust in a man is a fool. He declares, and you will walk foolishly. You might say, oh, you're not supposed to call people a fool. You will walk foolishly if you put your trust in men. But you say, when can I ever, wait a minute, there's something on my phone. The latest dress, the latest attitude, the latest thing I can see and do, the latest.
is right here.
I don't have to go looking for it anymore. I can just flip through it. And then I start, oh, that's, I'm going to get that. You see, you start lusting after the things that you see. It's right in your hand. And when you start lusting after those things, you be careful what kind of image you're trying to build. Because sometimes that image will be something you bow down to. It can cause, an image can cause you to be dishonest. If you look at someone who's wealthy or rich, this is funny to me now because I was sitting in the living room with my wife. We're watching television, and what we didn't have the television on. We just had one of those scenes. You know those scenes where you can have a really nice home but a backdrop in the back? And I'm sitting there looking at it. I said, Risa, pray for me because I was just thinking. I said, if I was at their house, they would have to ask me to leave. Because the house was just so on point. It was such a beautiful place. They would actually have to say, Eric, you've been here 3 weeks. It's time to go. And I'm like, what? I have to go? I thought you liked me. But the whole point of it is this. We can lust after things that we see. But then when you start lusting after it, you start doing things to get those things. That's what I'm saying. The Bible says the heart is desperately wicked. You have to check it with God. Check it in with God. Say, Lord, and just be honest, Lord, I'm desiring this, but is this your will and your desire for me? It may not be today, but it may be in the future. My God, it's the same thing that people often say. We can sometimes go after relationships if we're not even ready. Sometimes we're not even ready for relationships because you don't know what you did to the last one. I'm not talking about what they did to you. I'm talking about what you did, what part you played in it. The last one might have been a little bit of you and a lot of them, or it might have been a lot of you and a little bit of them. But you put two things together that become a catalyst, you can destroy anything. It's easy when you put the wrong things together. Praise God. We understand that, don't we? So we can't have a welfare mentality thinking that we're going to receive an inheritance. You can't mix the two. You either have to choose what God has for you, or you're going to stay in that welfare mentality. Somebody, someday, something good is going to happen to me. Someday, someone's going to give me an opportunity when all you have to do is go before your God and pray. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. Not some, but much. And he can do so much in your life if you allow him to. But sometimes some of us like the credit. I found me a good wife. I found me a good husband. I did this. I did this. Just listen to yourselves. You're talking about what you did, not what God did. So who's getting the glory? Even when you wait, God gets glory. Even when you say, I can't have it right now, but if I wait upon God, I know he'll provide it for me, or he'll open that opportunity, or he'll provide a way for me to get it. That's when he's doing it. And you're waiting on him for his wisdom. Sometimes, I remember I had a pastor that I worked with. I worked with him, and then at some point, he said, I'm going to give you this business. And from the very beginning of him saying those words to me, I felt something in my spirit like he didn't really want to do this. His best interest was not towards you. He was being obedient to God, but his heart wasn't right towards you when he gave you that business. Even though it sounded like a blessing, I wish I had been mature enough to say, it's okay. I don't care if it's a business, if it's going to destroy me. And if you listen to what people say, I still remember the day when his wife came to me and said, thank you for giving me back my husband. I said, why would she say thank you for giving me back my husband? He gave me something that was consuming him. You gotta be careful what you receive sometimes. It may sound like a blessing. It may look good, but the edge that the church has, the edge that the people of God have is this. They can go to God in prayer and say, God, is this for me? You ought to really love that relationship. Let's worship the Lord for just a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. There are seats up here if you like. Thank you, Jesus. There's no need to worry when you have an inheritance. Because God has put himself in a position where there is nothing that he cannot do for you. He's not answering to anyone. But he cannot release that inheritance in your life if you're not ready for it. I've only seen this twice, and I've always been fascinated with it. When the Lord has allowed me the opportunity to pray with someone, I could literally see I'm standing in front of this person, and behind them, if you look around them, God showed me all the things that he wanted to bring into their lives. I'm talking about blessings. I'm talking about just not just material things, but just blessings. That's all I'm going to describe it as. But in that, the Lord gave an instruction and said, they cannot receive it because of someone else in their lives. So be careful what you join yourself to. Be very careful what you join yourself to, be it another person in any kind of relationship. Look at the fruit. Look at the fruit. My God. So I'm deciding to not have a man or a family or someone look out for my welfare, but I'm looking to trust in God and to believe that he can give me the inheritance that he desires for me. Well, I want to read a couple scriptures. I want you to turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verse 32. Acts 20, 32. What we're talking about here is inheritance. When you see that word, just yell it out, just so I know that you're paying attention. When I read it. Praise God. You'd be like all disruptive. Inheritance! Inheritance! 20 verse 32. The word of God says, and now, brethren, I commend you unto God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I'll read it again. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Sanctified means set apart. But what I want you to put in your mind is this. When you pray for someone, let it go. Don't sit there and worry about it the rest of the night. When you've prayed and you've been sincere as you possibly can before your God, and that's why we practice repenting first. Repenting gives you a clean slate if you're sincere. And when you stand before God and say, God, I want to pray for this situation, and I'm going to believe that you're able, and I'm going to thank you for it. That's all you can do. Therefore, it's in God's hands. And he's going to do what is right in that situation. We can't govern, nor can we change anything unless God allows us to. Amen? He has that power. And so in this instance, he's commending these believers to God's grace and the word that was preached to them. And that's why it's important when you teach a lesson, pray over your words. Pray over the things that you've taught, because they are leaving something in the hearts of people that have heard it. If you turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 26, verse 18, it's another verse that talks about inheritance. And in verse 17, I want to start at 17 because it's showing you who he's speaking it to. Delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. That's a lot in that one scripture. And when you think about it, when the preaching of the gospel is going forward, or when you're teaching a Bible study, these are the things that are able to be accomplished while you're doing it. You're opening someone's eyes. What does that mean? They were in darkness, but when their eyes are open, they'll see not just the natural, but they can also see the supernatural. Amen? And to turn them from darkness to light. In the world that we lived in before we knew Christ, we were walking in darkness. We walked in this darkness because we did it out of ignorance. But then God, the gospel comes, and we start walking in the light of God's word and in the light of his countenance. When I say his countenance, because you have his spirit. His spirit will also guide you. And then it says, from the power of Satan unto God. I don't know if you thought about it this way, but when you were in the world, Satan had power over you. Some people don't ever acknowledge, no, Satan, anybody got no power over me. I do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. Sure you do. That's why the addiction can't come off of you, because you don't realize the power of the enemy. There are things that he puts in place, in strongholds, in mentalities, just different things where are in place so that he keeps you bound. That's why he said, he preached the gospel, said that the captives can be set free. Then, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Now, that forgiveness of sins is not just for one day. It's not just when you first come to God, but it's a perpetual thing. It's something that's continual throughout your walk with God. Because if you walk this walk, there's going to be some slip-ups. There's going to be some mistakes made. There's going to be something that you might do that God will reveal to you that it's not good, that it is sin. And if you walked in certain ways, sometimes we had to come out of a lot of things, church. But God has provided the forgiveness, and it's there for you. That's part of your inheritance. You don't have to walk around in guilt because of your inheritance. You don't have to walk around in the filthiness of your flesh because of your inheritance with God. He's provided something for you that you could not provide for yourself. You see, the thing about it, my mother and my father worked all their lives to purchase two homes. And those two homes became their children's inheritance. We didn't have to work for it. We didn't have to labor for it. And I want you to see the picture of God going, Jesus Christ, dying on that cross, providing for your forgiveness. And then you won't forgive someone else? See, we have to have the right kind of heart, because he bears it out in the parable or the story that he tells about the man who was forgiven much. There was a servant that went to his master and says, I cannot pay you. And the servant begged for mercy, basically. And when the master said, I'll forgive you, later on it was told to him by another servant, this man went out after you had forgiven him much and constrained his brother, the other servants, to pay him the full amount. And then the master still had control over that servant and said, then put him in prison till he pays the full thing. You see, that's why it says, when you don't forgive, you're holding someone else in prison, and that's you. You're holding yourself in prison. Because he says, if I've forgiven you much, how can you withhold any forgiveness from him or from your brother or your sister? And we're holding on to something that will not benefit us. I pray to God that we get to the place in our walk with God that we will not lay our heads on our beds with aught in our heart towards our brother and our sister. Because you, while you're sleeping, he might come. When I say he might come back for his church. And if iniquity is found in you, if unforgiveness is found in you, if a heart that's not right with God is found in you, you're not going. Well, I don't think we really believe that. I really don't. Another scripture I'd like to read in your hearing is Ephesians 1:14. Ephesians 1:14. Remember, we're talking about welfare, something that someone else is responsible for, unfaithful men. You know how people get when they don't get their check on time. We were testimony not too long ago, and the woman, that very thing happened. She had a check. What was it? The check was not, somehow she lost this check, and she knew she had it, and she went to go purchase something, and she said, the Holy Ghost, aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Told her to be quiet, to hold your peace. And if the Holy Ghost is not talking to you, you might check yourself. Ask him to talk to you, because the Holy Ghost will save you out of so many situations. I remember a brother who was getting frisky with a woman once. If you don't know what frisky means, look it up. he was frisky is what dogs usually do. They get paw. They touch you all the time. That's the only way I can describe that one. So he was getting a whole too comfortable with someone that was not his wife. He was getting real close to this young lady. And he said it shook him when God said, stop. Because he was going too far. Sometimes we all need to hear that, stop. But if you keep ignoring that, stop, he'll tell you to stop. Stop. And at some point, you won't hear it anymore. Because he knows you've chosen to do your own will and not his. He stopped something from happening. that that man was about to do. And God is so powerful. Don't forget, wherever you go, he is. And the thing that bothers me more than anything about God is that he's in my thoughts. Oh, I hate that. I'm just being honest. I said, you really saw? You? Ooh. I didn't mean for, no. Don't go there. Don't go that deep into my, I don't mind you out here and right here and giving me a word and speaking over me and things like that. But when you get in here, when you know my thoughts are far off, that bothers, that troubles me. That really does. Like, oh, come on. Those aren't mine either. Your thoughts. He says, I know your thoughts are far off. That's why he can say in the New Testament, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery with her in his heart. In that imagination that God has given us, that's so powerful. And he said, you've gone there in here before you acted out. And sometimes we go back to old things in our thoughts, old relationships in our thoughts. That's why I was talking about the stuff in the past. Sometimes you need to say, Lord, remove that from my memory. Stop me from thinking about those old things that have happened already, because I can't live there. That's no longer my address. That's my address, not that. You've got to let go. And to know that, and if you think of it as a sinful situation, you can say, but the blood of Jesus covers all of our sins. That's the blessing of knowing. And then it says, we are buried with him through baptism. That is a sign that you've been, that something supernaturally has happened in that transference. When you've been baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, old things are, not maybe or someday will be. See, it's not like what happened in the Old Testament when they had the bulls and the bullocks and the animals they sacrificed. That's not the blood of Jesus. When blood, Jesus' blood was shed, it took away our sin. To never be remembered, it gives us a clear conscience, church. You shouldn't be thinking about, oh, I did that 10 years ago. There should be no remembrance of it. If it is, you are remembering it, not God holding against you. So let it go. If he's not holding against me, why should I keep on to it? Why should I keep walking into it? Why should I keep remembering it? Let it go so that you can be the New Testament church. A New Testament is a new beginning that has an inheritance laid up for you and accessible by you. My God. Welfare. See, he won't even let me say it anymore. So let's just talk about the inheritance. It's an inheritance that is incorruptible. It's something that no one else can come and can corrupt what God has said he will do for you. No one can. There's no one more powerful than God, amen? So that means that what he has spoken is going to come to pass. When he said a child's going to be born, what happened? When he said that you will have power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, what happened? You have so much evidence in your walk with God as to the truth of what he's done. You have so much evidence, much more, much more. We, my wife and I went, same church that I told you about earlier, we went and visited this church. And I love, this is, I'm sharing this testimony because it shows that no matter where you go, God is there. So my wife and I, we went to visit a church that we had been in a long time ago, and we were sitting in the audience. We went through the whole service, and we kept hearing, you guys ought to come back. You guys ought to really come back and start and laboring in this field. And I said, okay. My tendency is to have a heart towards people. That's been pointed out to me very clearly, and I understand it. I'm ready, like, you know, they really need help. They need somebody. Another preacher. They need another body in the building. That, a couple days later, a sister calls up, and she said, you know, I had a dream about you and your wife. I said, really? And I love dreams. I love dreams. Oh, I love them. And she said, you guys got divorced. What? We got divorced? What do you mean we got divorced? You and your wife got divorced, and she was so mad because you took her around your new wife's family. And I saw in this vision that she was standing there looking at you, looking at your new family, and she was so mad. And then the dream ended. And the reason I looked at each other, like. And then the interpretation is that when you or I consider going someplace else and joining yourself, you have to be careful. That is God and not you. Because I was about to do that. God knows what you're considering. God knows your heart, like, oh, man, they really need help. Yeah, and you really be bound just like they were. Oh, man, because remember, when you marry, you're joined to. And whatever problems that church has, I was going to bring them back to you guys. Wouldn't you guys have just loved that? Oh, you guys have to be throwing rocks, throw a piece of paper. Throw paper at me when I say stuff like that. Throw paper, no rocks. That you should stone somebody that wants to bring back another person's problem to you. Don't bring that home. Realize that. That's why he tells you to pray about everything and everything in everything. Because what you bring to the house is going to affect the house. If you're in revival, stay in revival. But I'm not experiencing it for myself yet, because you're not doing all you need to do yet. You're going to keep hearing about revival till he catches us up. That's all, Stan. Aren't you thankful for the Holy Ghost? And once you get it, you don't know everything about it. That's why the Bible says that we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You get to establish that relationship like he had. But even when you don't have the Holy Ghost, I heard a testimony where God literally took a man back just as he was meditating and thinking about God, all the places where God was in his life. Some of us have experienced the same thing. Think back of the things that you've been through, and you knew no one else was there to help you out, but somehow you were kept. That was God. He's kept you through things that you couldn't keep yourself in so that you would be here today. So let your life have an impact on someone else's life. Amen. And it's just letting God work in you, letting God change you, letting God cause you to believe in an inheritance and not for something to be handed to you. You have an inheritance. And you inherited it after he died. That's why it's called the New Testament. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, that began a promise for you and for me that we can have a different kind of life. Can you just lift up your hands with me for just a moment and say, Lord, as we are in your presence even now, any need that we perhaps have not prayed about or not known, we pray that you would heal hearts right now. We pray that you would extend your mercy. Help us sometimes when we feel angry and frustrated. Your grace is sufficient for those moments as well. Give us understanding in the things that we're going through, Father. And we love you and we thank you for all that you've done in our midst. Help us to come alongside each other when we're going through difficult times. Let us not be afraid to come alongside each other, because we are a body. If you need prayer, you can come. Otherwise, you're dismissed in the future.